Awesome Friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm excited to talk to you guys this morning.
Yeah, so we're over here on the West Coast, and Mike and Allison are over there on the East Coast. So,
and if just for you guys, I'm Courtney.
Yep, and I'm Lisa.
And I'm Val.
Yep.
Hi.
So nice.
Hello.
So we always like to kind of start out by getting to know a little bit about your background, where you grew up. Let's start with you, Mike. Tell us about yourself.
we probably have so much similar stories. We're both from Ohio. I grew up in like Akron, Ohio, like rubber town of the world, USA, right? Kind of blue collar family. My father was an auto worker. I just had a really legit, like, 80s childhood, like, typical, stereotypical 80s childhood. Like, everything you know, our parents let us roam free and ride our bikes in the neighborhood, and, we saw them, when the sun went down, and that was about it. I ended up, I was, like, a baseball kid and a soccer kid. And eventually, went to college, went to Ohio State, got a degree in meteorology, and then became a broadcast meteorologist after that. And that's, kind of been my life for the last several decades now.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that you're a child of the 80s. It was literally the best decade.
The 80s were the best. I will legit say, like, Gen X had the best childhood. The whole latchkey thing, I get that, but we had this freedom and this independence that has served us well today.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love that.
Feel like the three of us had similar childhoods too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Actually, my husband and I have this saying that was like, the 80s were good. Yes, we say that regularly. Anyway, so how about yourself, Allison? Tell us about where you're from.
Yeah, so as Mike mentioned, I grew up in Ohio, too, more on the south side. So I grew up just outside of Cincinnati. I'm the oldest of three girls, middle-class family. We always had lots of animals in the house. My mom was a big animal lover, so multiple dogs. We had fish. We had rabbits. We had all kinds of stuff. But same thing. I mean, growing up in the 80s, it made for a great childhood. It was wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. I love that.
I know. We lived on honeysuckles and...
I had cheesies from the side. Yeah. So, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but that's what I lived off on. Side cookies. Anyway, good chat. So tell us a little bit about how you guys ended up meeting.
Yeah, so total nerd alert here. We met at a weather conference because we are both meteorologists. In Ohio, they put on what's called the Ohio State Severe Weather Symposium. It's held in Columbus, and that is where we met. Again, total nerd alert. I mean, we kind of geeked out about all the fun weather stuff, and that's where the connection began. And again, we're still meteorologists to this day, so obviously that connection worked out very well for us.
It's pretty funny. Like, I was invited to be a speaker, and she was attending, and it was just kind of like, I don't know, like, eyes met, and like that was the moment. It was like radar love, it was like it just happened.
Yeah. So I like to just ask, what were your first thoughts when you saw Allison? And the same thing with you, Allison.
So it's a little embarrassing because I truly was like never ever a believer in like love at first sight. Until it happened to me, because literally, like, the moment I saw her, I was like, whoa, what is happening? Like, that woman right there is, like, it. Like, it was, like, long, dark hair that went down to, like, the middle of her back. She was tall, and I was just like, oh, my God. And, like, my body just, like, went numb. And then, kind of like, okay, be cool, dude, be cool. And, you know, that's just how it was for me. It was really that moment. I mean, literally, it was in an instant. It happened for me.
You know, I love, like, you are still so excited when you talk about Wilson. That is the sweetest thing ever. You guys just are
But it's like seconds change your life. Like, for me, it was like the, like, when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, my life has, like, it, like, you kind of know, like, my life, I think, has changed.
And it's a core memory.
And like, yeah, it's like, it happens. So,
that's amazing. So what were your first words to Allison when you obviously were feeling that way?
I don't even know what is, I think we just like introduced ourselves. Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of people introducing themselves, and I, you know, maybe it was easier because I was a speaker at the event. And so a lot of people were coming up and introducing themselves. And I think that's end up what happened that she, you know, she had actually approached me because, several people were talking at the time. And so it was just kind of an easy way to introduce ourselves. And then it just spiraled from there.
What about you, Allison? So did you feel that connection as well? Or, you know, when you first saw Mike?
I did. So, I mean, you know, for me, it was a little different as attending. You know, they have programs when you go to conferences, so you can learn a little bit about them beforehand, like their background, things like that. So I knew a little bit about him. But, yes, I think when you first, like, see him, like, when I first saw him in person, when you meet somebody, it's a little bit different. You may know their background, but seeing them in person is just, I don't know, it's just different. And, yes, I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, he's, like, really attractive. but I also knew his background, and I knew, like, we already had, you know, at least a base thing, like, something in common. Obviously the meteorology thing, but, you know, both being from Ohio, there were also other commonalities that went with it. But to his point, yes, I think our first conversation was more just an introduction, maybe a couple of words. But I also remember specifically not wanting to take up too much time because there were other people around who also wanted to kind of make it. So I think that also.
And I was like the opposite. I was like, can she stay a little bit longer? And I give her just wait just a little bit longer, you know?
But you feel guilty, you know? You know there's all these other people that want to, like, chat and stuff. But I think that also saved us probably from saying anything stupid to each other because, you know, you didn't have that much time.
Yeah, that came much later, you know, so.
Okay, so did you take a pen and write your number on his arm? Like, how do you, like.
Yeah, how did you guys
So I think it was like back then, like, no one has business cards these days, right? But I was like, oh, like, I had a bunch of business cards. I was like, you know, helping out students and stuff and colleagues and stuff. Say, oh yeah, you know, you want to contact me? Here's my business card. And then she ended up emailing me, you know, like a few days later, I think.
Yeah. The irony of it was that was 2005. So it was, which, again, we know this, you may not know this, that was a really big hurricane year, a record number of storms. So it actually gave me an excuse there for a little while to email him, like, and ask him questions about some of the record-breaking hurricanes. But that was kind of how we eased into it, was honestly email.
We had actually met. It was about maybe 2 weeks before Hurricane Katrina happened. And then working for the Weather Channel, it was, you know, a short time after that, I went and covered Katrina live. And so it did make for an easy conversation, you know, to talk about hurricanes and Katrina in particular. Because, like, if you're going to talk about anything, that was like the Super Bowl of hurricanes, right? So it was just kind of how it happened.
Oh, my gosh. So what if, I'm just going to say, like, Allison, you haven't emailed him. I am so nervous, like, this never would have happened.
If you hadn't reached out to him.
I don't know. You know what? I'm also, like, I mean, I believe in fate and kismet. So even if I hadn't, maybe he would have. You know, I don't know. I guess I've never really thought of that before.
I was so nervous. I'm like, just a business card. What if she doesn't follow up? Like,
what if I lost it?
It's like a hope and a prayer, right? And then, totally. You know, you see this. Then, honestly, I do remember, it's like, oh my gosh, I got this email in my inbox. I'm like, this is her. And, you know, after the first sentence, and she's like, you know, I don't know if you remember me. But I was like, how can I forget? But I, you know, wasn't talking about that. But, then it just, you know, with the email correspondence, we were living in different, you know, she was living in Ohio, I was living in Georgia. But there was, you know, it's kind of like, well, this is super impractical. What am I even thinking? Like, this is weird. But just for some reason, there was just this, you know, we were just kind of drawn to each other, I think. I certainly was, and just decided to go for it.
Yeah. So how did you, since you were living in different places, how did you like decide to
go on a date?
Shortly,
what helped with us is shortly thereafter, I got a job in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which for reference is only about a 90-minute drive from Atlanta. So it's actually not that far. I had gotten a job there. Yeah. And so it made it a little bit easier for us to kind of, you know, like meet up sometimes for a few places. Yeah. Our first date was actually at the Georgia Aquarium. So, only being 90 minutes away, certainly that's much closer than Ohio. But I spent the next several years living in Tennessee, and we did long distance from there.
We lived apart for a long time. She ended up moving to Nashville, and so that was like even farther. So that was like a 3.5-hour drive. But we did the long distance thing up until like just a few months before we got married, honestly. So maybe that was why we got along so well. Is that we never lived with each other or anything. We could like see each other and then just go our separate ways, and the relationship was perfect.
You didn't know that he left his dirty socks on the floor. That is true.
Well, so I want to hear about that first, when you first saw each other again, like that first date.
Certainly more nervous because, again, like I said, you had the crutch of like there's so many other people around, you know, at the weather conference with the date. I mean, it was just the two of us. So definitely there was an extra set of nervousness, I think, especially on my end. Yeah. He at least knew the places we'd been to. I'd never really been to Atlanta before. So, you know, being able to kind of explore the city, definitely a lot of nerves, but excited nerves.
Well, and I feel like the pressure was on now. Like we were like going to try it, right? We were going to say, okay, let's get together and see what happens, right? And so you're like, okay, am I going to do this right? You know, all those kind of things that you think about when you first meet somebody, I think. But it was just pretty natural. I think maybe because we both had, you know, similar backgrounds growing up, we had similar careers. It was easy for us to talk about a lot of things. But I do remember when I seeing her again for the first time. I was like, oh, yeah. Now I remember for sure. Because, you know, like, it was actually some time later, right? It was months later before we actually saw each other again. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because I had no pictures or anything like that. I was just, like, going from memory of what she looked like at this conference. But then she was, like, in casual clothes. Like, she was more dressed up at the conference. And then and when I saw her in person, then, again, she was in casual clothes, and she had on these jeans that were, you know, just right. And I was like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. So
did you guys spend a lot of time emailing each other and texting each other before you re-met?
Yes, it was a lot of, again, initially started with emails, you know, with the tried to be subtle with all the, you know, weather related questions. But then eventually we did exchange phone numbers. It made it a little bit easier. Then we started talking on the phone or, you know, texting. Back then, I want to imply, like, texting, you had so many texts a month. So it was actually easier for us to talk to each other on the phone than it was actually texting.
Oh, my God. We, like, it was weird because we would talk on the phone. Oh my gosh, I was working evenings. And so again, we got to know each other over the phone before we saw each other again, but we would talk until like, no joke, like 3:00 in the morning. And so I, you know, felt like if she was willing to talk to me till 3:00 in the morning, then okay, then I think she's interested, and I think vice versa. So we kind of knew when we saw each other again for the first time that there was already this familiarity. It wasn't like a blind date or first date necessarily, because we had gotten to know each other over the phone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. So how did you know, like, how that this is something solid, real, I want to stay with you forever? Like, how did those sparks fly? Like, you knew she was the one from the second your eyes locked, but
I mean, that is a certain extent to it. I mean, obviously there has to be an attractive part of it, but I think for me, it was, you know, you start realizing, like, you start planning your future with them in mind. Like, I would start thinking to myself, like, oh, next year I want to go on vacation. And the automatic assumption is that he's with me. Or you start thinking about down the road, I'd like to get a job here. And, like, we'd have to move together. He'd have to, you know, when you start, I think, planning your future, or even if it's not full-blown planning, like family planning, even if it's just vacation, but you're automatically assuming that that other person is going to be, I think that for me was a big hint that like, okay, I really see this going somewhere and I really see spending the rest of my life with him.
I love that. That is really kind of a nice way to think of where your future is with somebody, as if you start unconsciously planning it with them.
Yeah.
They are going to be a part of my life.
She was stalking me. It's just how it was. Like, just be real.
So how did you pop the question?
Oh, okay. So that's a bit of a story. Admittedly, we have an age difference. And so we're 12 years apart. And I had kind of lived my life as kind of like this, just like single bachelor guy for a long time. And I remember being at my parents' house. My parents were living in Michigan at the time. And I think it was like a Thanksgiving one year. And she had not come with me that year. I think she was working or something. And I got this conversation with my parents, because we've been dating for years at this point. Mm-hmm. And my mom had asked, like, dude, like, you're like 40 years old or whatever, you're pushing 40, like, are you ever going to make it happen? And I'm like, what, mom? And she's like, well, like, Allison, like, what's the deal? And I'm like, I don't know, mom. She's like, and here's where it finally sunk in, because moms give good advice, right? And my mom said, you're never going to find anybody better. And I was like, she's right. I was like, what am I waiting? I was like, what am I? I think ultimately what we were waiting for is we never lived together. We never lived in the same city, you know? And so we just kept pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. Not that we hadn't maybe talked about it, but I think that was the push I needed, was from my mom, that said, you're never going to find anybody better, which gave basically her blessing, right? Like her seal of approval that this was the one. And so right after I got home from Michigan, I was like, okay, I got to go to the jewelry store. I got to make this happen. And then how are we going to do it, right? And so I had planned, we had a vacation planned. We were going to Breckenridge, Colorado. I'd had this ring made and I was really proud of myself because, my birthstone is garnet, hers is sapphire. And so I had a special ring made that had a diamond. And then on each side, it had sapphires and garnets to represent just kind of our union.
Yeah.
And so I arranged that we were going to go on a horse-drawn sleigh ride, just the two of us in Breckenridge. I was nervous as heck, right? And so we're out there, and it's us and the driver, and just the two of us in this sleigh, and it's a beautiful day. And I had arranged beforehand that it's going to happen. The sleigh driver is going to stop the sleigh, going to give me the signal, and I'm going to do it, right? But, like, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the signal.
He never stopped.
I'm like, what's going on? I'm beads of sweat are, like, dripping down my face. I'm like, we're going back to the stables. What is happening? Like, I'm panicked, right? And so I was like, I can't do this. Like, I've got people and stuff around. Like, I wanted to be, like, intimate and private and special. And so before I see where we're headed, I'm like, okay, I just say to the driver, I was like, can we stop here? And she looks at me, she's like,
I'm thinking, why?
What's up with you, dude? I guess. And so she stops the sleigh, and then I do my thing, and I ask her, I get down on one knee in the sleigh, and she's looking great, and she's got this really cool, like, I don't know what the thing is you had on your head, but it's like, like a Russian model. What's the thing that you wear on your head?
A little hat. Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Anyway, and and so then once it all proceeds, then the sleigh driver's like, oh, yeah, whoops. And it all worked out, and she was wonderful. She said yes. The sleigh driver takes our picture and everything, so it worked out. It worked out just fine. But I was sweating bullets there for a minute.
The best part was I had no clue, so I'm just enjoying the ride, and like here he is, like mid like anxiety attack sitting next to me. And I had no idea what's happening.
In your mind, like it's all planned out, it's all going to be perfect and flawless, and then I was like, uh-oh, this is not going as planned.
That is so magical. I love that.
Wow,
story.
What a, you know, I just think, what a, how special it is that you put so much thought into the rings and the way you're going to look to her. This shows how much you care.
Yeah.
The rings, you guys, is that the rings that you had made?
Yeah, here. Like, I don't. It's probably, honestly, I don't know if you'll be able to see it. I'm trying to hold it up so you can see the sapphires there and the garnets next to it.
Yeah, you did so good.
That is so pretty.
So she can't get rid of me now.
No. It's like the most thoughtful ring. Because what you wear those forever, so.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
And it really does represent each of you. So nice.
Yes.
So after the proposal, how long before you guys got married? And how did you figure out that?
We were engaged for over a year because, again, I was still living in Tennessee. And we pretty much spent the next – I mean, he helped too. I mean, we were searching for any and every kind of job we could find in Georgia so I could at least – you know, it's one thing to say your boyfriend lives in a different state. It's entirely different to say your husband lives in a different state. Yeah. So that was kind of the goal. We were planning the wedding to happen in Atlanta. So I had hired a wedding planner because I didn't live there. We had hired somebody to kind of take care of the wedding part for us while we focused on just trying to find a job for me to be able to move down.
I think it was – we got engaged, I think, in January of one – and then we didn't get married until the October of the next year.
Yeah.
So it was like a year and – 9 months or so that we were engaged.
But it worked out because I finally moved down June of that year and then we got married in October. So it worked out. It worked out beautifully. Like we finally, you know, lived in the same state and everything in several months before the wedding.
And
so,
believe it or not, she actually like was okay with my dirty socks and all that kind of stuff. And so it actually, you know.
Thank God. I know. What if you do it? No. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. So tell me, what are your favorite things about each other? Now that you know about the dirty socks,
he does have a good sense of humor. We joke that I'm the funnier one in the relationship, but I am. But but he has a great sense of humor, and I think we play off of that. I think both of us having good sense of humor it just makes the relationship more fun. We also don't take each other too seriously. We can have fun with each other. We have a lot of the same interests, which makes it fun too. Everything from like the activities we like to do to the shows we like to watch, stuff like that, which makes it great. It also adds a sense of comfortableness because, you know, I'm not trying to be something different with him than I wouldn't normally be on my own. He's very perceptive. So if I'm having a very stressful day at work, he can tell. He'll either help out or a little bit more around the house or, you know, he'll take care of dinner, stuff like that. So the perceptiveness, I truly appreciate too. And that's probably something I don't think I ever would have noticed in the beginning of the relationship, especially when we didn't live together. But I know now.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like this woman has always had like the kindest heart. She is really the kindest human being I think I have ever known. And, she's an incredibly ambitious person. She takes on a lot, right? Like she is a broadcast meteorologist. She is a novelist. She is a track coach. She is on the board of nonprofits. And so, you know, she's the whole package, right? And so it's just, it's when you're around somebody that is like that, you can't help but have some, you know, admiration for who they are. I'm very proud of her and I admire her for, you know, everything she's accomplished in her life and just how good she is to people around her, including myself. And so that's really ultimately what it is. If we're not good to each other, then what good are we to society as a whole? And so that's how I feel about her.
We always talk about when we interview or review books and movies, we always talk about being friends before lovers and that you kind of do need to be friends before to have a good relationship.
Yep.
And I think that you guys seem to have had such a good friendship. And also, you know, when you are apart and you have to write to each other and talk to each other on the phone, you're developing a whole other level of connection with each other that you don't get like when you're just constantly like meeting, you know, and talking on dates.
Yeah.
You have to.
Is it one of your guys' shared hobbies, writing? Tell us a little bit.
I know.
About
yes,
that.
I like to. You're a novelist, and we know that you just wrote a romance novel.
Yeah.
And we're so excited for you. Tell me how you guys did that together.
Yeah, so I've got two books out now. The third one comes out next month. And I have to admit, they would not be there if it weren't for him. Not just from his support. I mean, he was one of the biggest push people. You know, I started writing a lot of these in COVID. We had a lot of extra time in our hands. A lot of us were trapped in our homes. It's very cathartic for me. I write a lot at my job too, but that's nonfiction science-based writing. It's totally different. This was, I could make up anything in my head and write it down. And it was just very cathartic for me. But four books later, he was kind of, you know, the push of like, why don't you just publish them? It's, you know. So not only was the support layer there, but he's been great to kind of bounce ideas off of. I mean, look, I'm not a man. He is. So sometimes, you know, he's read my books and he'll, you know, he'll say things to me like, no man would say that. Or he would be like, you know, like it's, look, you guys have read romance books before, you know, in some of the scenes, you know, like it can happen pretty quick. And he's like, you're making this guy seem like he doesn't know what he's doing. It's happening too fast. So it's, you know, like even things like that, he would kind of help, you know, kind of give some guidance on the books. And so this first series I wrote, it's a series of four books. But I've already started writing those. All those books are done. They've been done. They're just in various stages of editing and publishing. But I've started writing another series. And the next series is all the female leads have STEM-based careers. So there's a hydrologist, a meteorologist, forensic scientists, things like that. But that, because we are both weather nerds, I mean, I've been able to bounce, you know, like plot ideas off of him of like, what about this? And he's like, well, you know, you wouldn't really have that with this. You know, so he's been not only just a great supporter in the writing role, but a great sounding board, too, for me to kind of bounce ideas off of. It's been, honestly, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I love that you have a male that is willing to say, hey, because I mean, so many romance books are written by females, and it's really rare to have the male perspective. And that's one of the things that I loved about your book, was it was told in like dual, it was told from dual perspectives. One was the female, one was the male. And I loved to like get in a man's head, because I'm like, I do not understand men sometimes.
And so, in a lot of
well, it's the inspiration as the main male character of, you know, the muscle bound army vet, you know, obviously, like I needed to give her some pointers on how to do it. But yeah, I didn't want him to be like, you know, he needed to take his time. Like he was about to be a 2-pump chump. And I was like, come on, like, give this guy some credits. Like,
I will say it was very funny because the very first book he read, he was like, there's a lot of winking. And I was like, people wink in these books.
Oh
like,
my
this,
God.
This happens. Like, and he's like, but really, like, I feel like these people have a winking problem.
Oh my God. They need to go to like chapter. Winking rehab. Like every other paragraph, someone was winking. It's just like, I haven't winked this much in my life. Like even when I had like a piece of dust in my eye and I was trying to get out, I didn't wink this much. And she was like, no, this is how it happens. I was like, sweetheart, like, I don't think I ever winked at you, like, in the 7 years of courtship. But these people do. And admittedly, like, I think you did.
Yeah.
She, like, searched her novel, like, wink, the word wink, and it was in there, like, 76 times or something like that.
A little bit much. So, yeah, so we scaled it back down to, like, 20 or 30. But again, it's just funny, you know, because obviously, like, he doesn't read romance books. I do. So there was some aspect of things that he wouldn't know, like, as a reader. But then it was nice, again, for that kind of perspective that he could give. And he's like, no man waits this
or
much.
Maybe I've been doing it wrong all these years. I was like, it took me 40 years to get a woman because I wasn't winking enough. I don't know.
Oh, I love it.
Well, definitely, I think, you know, reading romance novels that are the males, like, if what a woman would want a man to, I don't know if a woman really wants a man to wink a million times better, but it's just not real, you know, it's like a fantasy, and I love that you brought, like, some realness into the male character.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like this writing process and having his support. How do you feel like that has affected your relationship?
Honestly, I think it's made our relationship closer, because it gives us yet again another topic of things that we can talk about. We like taking walks in our neighborhood. We have a dog. But sometimes that's like honestly our best time to catch up. We work opposite schedules. So there are some days where it's a hi and goodbye situation. You know, he stays here with our son in the morning while I work. And then when I come home, he leaves. So, you know, sometimes it's two ships passing in the night, basically. But when we can take those walks together, that's our time to get caught up. That's when we, you know, reconnect again and, you know, fill each other in our days or what's been happening with our lives. But it's also when we would talk about the books. You know, he's been very supportive. The very first book signing I ever did, you know, at a little book festival, like he and her son, like they came, they helped me set up the tent. They were there supporting Aww. my son made a little poster, read my mom's books. But, you know, like, I mean, they were both there. They were very supportive. It's nice to have that, not just at home, but, you know, they've been very supportive in some of the other things, as well. So no, I truly don't think these books would have been published without him.
Well, it's kind of interesting going, I can kind of, and I haven't read all the books yet, but like she'll give me, we go on these walks, right? And she's telling me like, here's the scene and whatnot. And I'm like, sweetheart, we're going to need to practice this scene just to make sure it works. So like, I'm available tonight if you need somebody to help you out with this scene, just to make sure everything's right. Like, we don't want a character pulling a muscle or anything. And so, you know,
This is a true conversation. He's not making this up.
This is totally brilliant, because then you can be like, oh, honey, I've written a special scene I need some help with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's winked that a time or two to me. Yes.
Does it matter?
Not that she's ever going to get, I'm never saying no. I'm like, let's write more books.
Let's make them habanero steamy. Let's try that. I love it.
So you have a son. How old is he?
He is 10 years old.
Okay.
Very nice.
That's so great. And how do you make that, you know, you've got so much going on. You both have jobs that are, and writing books and raising a child. How do you guys make that work together?
As I mentioned, our schedules are kind of opposite. You know, my off days are different than his. I have Mondays and Tuesdays off. He has Saturdays, Sundays. We work opposite shifts. So even when we do overlap, you know, it's opposite shifts. I mean, from a childcare standpoint, we've been very fortunate the last few years to really make it work. We do have some babysitters. You know, if there's a couple of hours where it just doesn't work out that we can use. A lot of his family is very close by. His sister and his parents all live here. Now, you know, they've all since moved. So that helps too. You've got, you know, family around as backup babysitters if you need, you know, if you need it. I honestly, it's been fantastic having them as a resource, because also too, being meteorologists, sometimes we get sent out to go cover weather, and a lot of times that's at the last minute. So that having that family close by has been truly a blessing.
I think just like any family, like you just find a way to make it work, right? Like our lives are busy, right? We all have things we're doing individually or as family, but I think we always try to find time to have family time, to have as many dinners together as we can. And one of our favorite things to do is at dinner, we always ask, like, what was the favorite part of your day? And so everyone at the table has to say what the favorite part of their day was. And sometimes we even say, like, what our least favorite part of the day was, too, because not everything is always roses every single day in our lives. And so it's great to have that bond between the three of us where we can just talk about things that are on our mind at the dinner table. And it's usually very positive.
And sometimes that's the easiest way to get our child to open up, because, you know, if you ask him like, hey, how was school today? He's like, fine. But if you ask, you know, like, what was your favorite part of your day? What was your not favorite part of your day? You're going to end up getting more out of him, you know, with those kind of things. And honestly, vice versa, even for us, you know, forcing you to think of an actual moment that was really good kind of, you know, adds to the conversation, gives us a little bit more insight into everybody's day.
That's such a great tradition to start with your children, because you really can get a little more information from them. And I would suspect, you know, through teenage years when they close off even more to you, it's already something you've built in and that you do and that he expects. And I just think that's going to carry you guys through that I have to say teenagers are really hard. Yeah. And it's going to help you guys keep those connections and keep that.
Yeah. Well, she's going to, when he decides he doesn't want to snuggle his mom anymore, someone's going to have to go into therapy.
Yeah.
I read a book about that and then I can take over.
Yeah.
Snuggle, winking and stuff.
That's like you no longer want to hold your hand. You're just like, oh.
It was 14 for my son. So
I didn't realize before. That was going to be the last time. I would have appreciated it more.
I know. Oh. Yeah. So how, since your initial impression of Allison or Mike, you know, how have things changed? Or same people?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I appreciate things that I didn't know about him in the beginning. Look, when you first meet somebody, you know, you obviously know the physical attributes and you may know a couple of personal attributes, but you certainly don't know everything about them. You're just getting to know them. So I think for me, it's more the attributes and the qualities that he had that I didn't necessarily know about ahead of time. You know, like how attuned he is to, you know, everybody around him. Like I said earlier before, like he's very perceptive, you know, like when I'm having a bad day or, you know, things like that. I didn't know any of that about him, you know, when I first met him, but I can certainly appreciate that so much as a quality that he has now that I simply did not know existed back then. Obviously, yes, the physical attractiveness is still there just as much as it was on day one, but there's other aspects too. We make a great team. Like it's, you know, we've kind of have like, even when it comes to like housework or things done around the house, like, you know, we're very easy to kind of work with each other and divvying things up. You don't know that, especially when you don't even live together, you know, the whole dirty socks thing. I mean, you know, how do I know if he's really going to be good at helping out around the house when he's not around enough to leave those dirty socks? So those kind of things, I think for me are things that I appreciate far more now and really enjoy about him now that I just simply didn't know about.
And I think for me, like all the qualities that I appreciated when I first met her, you know, all those things to me now are just like on rocket fuel for her. Like that, they just, you know, they've compounded 1,000 times over. And so it just makes me, you know, love her that much more because all the great qualities she had initially when we met are just tenfold now. And it just, you know, I think we have lots of friends in the industry and just good friends. And every single one of them jokingly says she's the better Bettis. But it's true. you know, there are a lot of people that will be my friend because they're trying to get to her. So I'm just the conduit to my wife. But there is a reason for that because she truly is, you know, one of the best human beings that you will ever meet. And so people are just drawn to her and that's, you know, you just can't help but be.
Well, just listening to you both, you're both such amazing, beautiful human beings, and that you found each other, and two beautiful human beings can make one amazing couple. You guys are really so lucky you found each other.
And that you guys still sound like you appreciate each other and respect each other and are just so available to each other. I just love it.
That's what I'm hearing. Like the term, you know, I want to grow old with you. Like it sounds like you guys love and appreciate and support each other's growth. And I just can't say enough about how important that is in a relationship. And you guys just...
Yeah.
Have a beautiful relationship. And thank you
for sharing it.
Yes, so much for sharing that with us.
I feel so lucky that you connected with us. We are so honored to have talked and interviewed you guys and read your book. I mean, thank you so much for reaching out to us because we feel very lucky to met you both. You're so wonderful. And I'm sorry we can see you guys and you can't see us.
You guys are beautiful people.
Yes.
Inside out. No.
She's the better Bettis. She is 9.5 of the 10 of our looks, I would say. Don't forget, I mean, I'm truly the impetus for all the art, all the novels. So, you know, like.
Don't forget. Yes. These are all written about me. I love it.
Love it. Do you want to share the names of your novels that you would like our listeners to know about?
Yeah, so it's a, like I said, it's a series of four. They are romantic suspense novels. So I write about, you know, kind of soft-hearted badasses is the best way to put it, but they have, you know, sassy, very confident and brave women at their side, you know, and so a lot of the books, all four of the men are connected. It's a connected series. They're standalones. You don't have to read them in any particular order, but they're connected through all of the male main characters. They all work together in a private security company that's based in Georgia. And then it kind of follows each and every one of their love stories. But, you know, there's a lot of action, there's suspense, there's thrillers, because there happens to be, you know, just kind of, you know, things.
Psychopaths, you know.
Things go wrong.
Stuff like that.
Things go wrong. You know, normal everyday things that go wrong in the books. So yes, it's, I enjoyed writing them. My favorite thing is I enjoy putting plot twists in them. So for those that kind of enjoy those kind of things in their books, I enjoy having where, you know, it's very obvious who the good people are and who you think the bad people are, but then I like throwing a curveball in there at some point in the book. I won't say too much more, just not to ruin it for people.
By the way, she's so humble too, by the way. Like, these are her books. Like, I will promote her, okay? It's like, you know, Betrayal and New Beginning, Instinct and New Identity. Like, talk yourself up, woman. Sorry. Like,
I have to admit, that has been the hardest part of this, is I'm, you know, not used to talking about myself in that regard. The marketing side has been, promotions has been the hardest part for me.
She's too modest. She's too modest.
You know, it's very hard for me to be like, please buy my book, which, again, my son's poster definitely helped. It definitely got a lot of attention. And he tried to draw, he drew stick figures. Oh, I should send it to you. He drew stick figures, and then he put lumps on arms to make sure that people knew they were muscular. You know, men in the books. It's a very accurate portrayal. Yes. And then the third book does come out in July, and then the fourth book in the series comes out in September. So trying to space them out. It was funny. I had a fellow friend, another author, who's a friend, who recommended that during COVID, you know, people got very impatient when it came to, you know, like, we could binge watch whole seasons of shows all at once. We could, you know, binge read an entire series, and people's patience level has gone away. They don't want to wait 9 months or a year for the next novel to come out. So I tried to space them out enough that it, you know, every 2 months I figured would be good enough.
That's amazing. Idea. Well, I really enjoyed Instinct and Identity, and the plot twists were definitely there.
I'm not sure I understand.
And I would say it was pretty steamy. So whatever you guys are doing, you're doing right.
You did a really good job providing that.
Again, always here for advice, you know, clothes or not, you know, whatever it need be. You know.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. I love it. Do you guys have any last words of advice you'd like to share with other people, things that we've learned about, and, you know, your relationship that is special, you know?
You know, laugh, man. Like, that's, you know, if we didn't have a laugh every day, you know, we'd be boring, right? Like, you don't want to get into a routine either. We try to not, you know, it's easy to be in routines as families, couples, whatever. Keep it fresh. Keep it lively. Don't take yourself too seriously. You know, we all tend to just kind of get wound up in society, but just, you know, take some time for yourself too, and make sure that you're connecting with your partner no matter how long you've been together. For us, it's been almost 20 years, and so we still love each other as much as we did the first time.
Yeah, and communication. You know, so many times, you know, if something leads to an argument or a miscommunication, it's been, you know, because you think you told them something, but you actually didn't. So, I mean, communication is probably the biggest advice I would give.
I would say for guys, maybe read a romance novel, and you'll know what your women want.
I
learned.
That's the best advice ever.
Just saying.
Saying that to my sons. Oh, right. I should read this book. They're 18 and 20.
That's right.
And I can help you a lot with romance.
Yeah, I had that conversation with my son the other day.
Yeah. That's so funny. I think that's great advice.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for reaching out to us. For those that are listening, I mean, that's how Mike got a hold. Well, I think Mike said, hey, you should reach out to these guys, and you found our website, myperfectromance.com, emailed, sent your love story, and from there it just kind of happened. So for those listening, we would love to hear from you as well. So yeah, and thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, you guys have a beautiful day, and I wish the best for you. I know.
Yeah.
you guys have a lot of more joy and laughter to come.
And then you have another, after this series comes out, you have another series. Maybe we can reconnect after that series comes out and we can discuss those books as well, because we're excited for those.
Yes, I'm sure we'll have many more conversations of how we work the next series out too.
I'm so excited about that one. So, well, congratulations.
Oh, it was so lovely talking to both of you.
Thank you
you are,
so much.
Yes, absolutely my perfect romance.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. Go to our website.
MyPerfectRomance.com.
Yeah. That's,
but we're on Facebook now, too.
Facebook. Oh, yeah. And eventually we'll do things with those more regularly. So thank you for listening.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.